Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come before thee this evening hour with hearts full of anticipation of thy word, Lord, that thou would speak to us and that we might be edified and that thou wouldst be glorified in our gathering together here round about thy word. And so we look to thee, dear Heavenly Father, and thank thee, Lord, that thy Spirit is faithful and he will instruct us and he will guide us into all truth and we can glorify thy name and stand in awe of thee, Lord, because of who thou art. And so we just pray thee that the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit would be among us in this evening hour, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For this evening's reading, let's turn to the Gospel of John and read from chapter number 11. Gospel of John, chapter number 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith unto his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, and he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come there where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that, if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me also, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave's clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. And then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. I'd like to conclude there with the 46th verse. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees.
Our Father, who art in heaven, we are thankful for this hour that we have assembled together, and Lord, that thy word is open unto us, and we rejoice exceedingly. Lord, we pray that our time that we spend here in thy house and this evening would be an honor and a glory unto thee. But Lord, we pray that the words that we have read and we will meditate upon would be a blessing unto each of us. To Lord, dwell upon thy love and thy power. And Lord, we see in these verses that the words that are so beautiful in the expression of the love that thou dost have for Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And Lord, it is the same love that thou hast loved the world with. It is a love that is far loftier than any love that we can experience without thee, for this is a love that is not swayed by impulse. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that that love which thou dost have, as thou art eternal, that we also, Lord, would, by thy grace, be able to love as thou hast loved, a love that is not swayed by impulse, but one that is rooted deeply in thee, Lord Jesus. We pray that the circumstances of this life would never rob us of this lofty goal that we will have. We pray, Heavenly Father, but that we would continually search out thy ways. And Lord, as thou didst display here and thou didst show that as Lazarus had died, thou simply didst say that our friend Lazarus is not dead. No, Lord, death is not the end, is not an extinction, O Lord, but even as Lazarus being dead, he was still called our friend. For he was someone that was still much alive, O Lord, for the soul continues on, and thy Lord did bring back to life this mortal body as it is in thy power and in thy might. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we also would come to the realization. And in that realization, O Lord, as we believe that we are eternal beings, O Lord, that we would live our lives, though they are short here upon this earth, that we would live them in a manner in which we would know that the end of this life is not an extinction, O Lord, but rather is just the beginning of eternity. We pray, Heavenly Father, that each of us would look longingly into thy word, that we would not only look into thy word when we gather together, such as we have this evening, but Lord, that thy word would be precious and dear unto us, that we would look into thy word of life on a daily basis, that we'd seek out scripture, verses, chapters, and any thought that we could grasp and pull from thy word that would lead us and guide us throughout this life. We pray, O Lord, a blessing upon each of us who have gathered together. We pray a blessing, O Lord, on our dear brothers and sisters and friends all, O Lord, who were unable to gather with us in this evening. O Lord, we know that thy hand is not shortened, that thou art able to bless each soul. Whoever sighs and thinks upon thee, O Lord, can receive a blessing from thee. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would bless our dear brother as he would expound upon this word, that he and each and every one of us, O Lord, would receive a blessing from thee, as thou, Lord Jesus, art at the throne now, looking down upon our small gathering here below. We know, O Lord, that we have gathered in thy name, and we have this comfort that thou art with us. And we thank thee, O Lord, for that great love which thou dost have, that thou art even in our midst this very moment. So abide thou with us and bless us one and all. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Years since we've read this chapter in church, I believe that this teaching and this event that happened here in the life of the family of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus is a familiar one to each and every one of us. We understand what had happened here, and it was a miracle, and it was something that wasn't recorded in the other Gospels. And the Apostle John had written his Gospel after the other three were written, and perhaps he was looking at the other three Gospels and noted that this event of Lazarus being raised from the dead was missing from those Gospels, and thought it was necessary, and again inspired by the Holy Spirit, to include this that had happened with Lazarus in his Gospel. And so he records it here, and we have it for our benefit and for our inspiration as well. And I pray that the Spirit would speak to each and every one of us in this evening hour and would inspire us with the truths of God's word and the things that Jesus Christ has done, how he is the resurrection and the life, and how we can live through belief in him. And so it is my prayer, Lord, that the Lord would bless each and every one of us here as we are gathered here looking at this great thing that Jesus Christ has done in Lazarus as this event had happened. And so we see that what was common to all mankind was common to Lazarus. We all get sick, and Lazarus had become sick and had become very sick, so much so that Martha and Mary had sent a message out to Jesus, who was beyond Jordan at this time, and sent a message to him and saying, "He whom thou lovest is sick." And their desire was that Jesus would come quickly and come to Lazarus and perhaps heal him before he would die. And it was so that Jesus abode there still in that place for 2 days, even as he was being called, but yet it was all for the glory of God. And he says to his disciples, he says, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And this is the blessing that we have as believers in the Lord, that we can see the glory of God, that we can behold his works and see through the pages of Scripture all the things that the Lord has done, and we can see this glory of God, and we magnify him because of this, of his glory, because of who he is. And again, that's my desire this evening hour, is that we would be inspired, and that we would glorify the Lord because of his glory and because of who he is. And so Jesus Christ says, "This is for the glory of God." And that's perhaps why the Apostle John had written this event that had happened. And it says that Jesus loved them, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He had a love for them, and this love is displayed over, and even the Jews noted how that Jesus really loved Lazarus. And so after these 2 days had expired, and Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "Let's go back to Judea." And his disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But conversely," he says, "but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." Jesus is saying that when you walk in the light, You can see where you're going. And he's saying that he is the light of this world. And he illuminates. And a man can see where he's going because of the light of Jesus Christ. But if we walk in our own way, he says, there's no light in us and we're going to stumble. And so Jesus speaks of that. And there are the I ams of Jesus Christ, of who he is, the good shepherd, the door and the bread of life and all these things, the resurrection and the life and he speaks of these things. And so he says that earlier in John's gospel that he is the light of the world. That if any man follows him, they should not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so Jesus is telling his disciples here, walk in the light. Walk in the light. And he says that he is the light of this world. And so he's encouraging them and us now in this evening to walk in this light. Walk in the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Bible says that, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. This is what we're being called to. Walk in the light of Jesus Christ. Let the light of Jesus Christ illuminate from us. And it's a beautiful light. It's a wholesome light. It's a good light. It shines brightly forth. And so we're being exhorted. We were sometimes darkness, but now we are the light of the world. Walk as children of light. This is what we were being called to walk as children of light. Even as Jesus Christ here says to his disciples, if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. John, in his epistle, says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, Jesus, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. When we walk in the light, we walk with Jesus Christ. And you and I walk in this way of Jesus Christ, keeping his commandments. We have fellowship one with another and with the Lord, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And so we are encouraged here. Jesus is encouraging his disciples, and we are being encouraged also to walk in the light of Jesus Christ, because he is the light of the world. And then we'll have that fellowship with him, and we will know him. The Bible also says that we should walk in love. And we see that Jesus loved us so much that he gave of himself for us. We see that Jesus Christ loved Lazarus. And so he's calling us to walk in this love as well. And in the Bible again says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. This is the agape love that we are being called to, a sacrificial love, that something that's going to cost me and be a benefit to you. Walk in love as Christ also loved us. He sacrificed his life for our benefit. He displayed his great love for us. And so he says, as Christ has loved us, so ought we also to walk in love, because he gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ gave himself for us. And so we are being called to walk in love too, to give of ourselves likewise. Again, John in his epistle says, He that saith he abideth in him ought also himself so to walk even as he walked. Walking with Jesus, walking in his light, walking in his love. As Jesus walked, we are called to walk. If we say that we abide in Jesus, we ought also ourselves to walk as Jesus walked. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. We are being called to have fellowship with the Lord. We are being called to walk with him, to walk in his light. Let his light illuminate us, and let that illumination come forth from us. We are being called to walk in love, even as he loved, again, so that we might walk together. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can we walk with God and be in darkness? No, we can't. We can't. Two have to be agreed to walk together. To walk with the Lord, we need to walk in his light, and we need to walk in the love wherewith he loved us. The Bible says that Noah walked with God. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. We can walk with God too. And when we do, we will behold the glory of God. Just as Moses wanted to see the glory of God, we will behold the glory of God. Even as these Jews and Mary and Martha and the disciples were here when Lazarus was called forth from the grave, they saw the glory of God. Again, this is to be served as an inspiration for each and every one of us. We can see the glory of God. We can behold his marvelous works when we believe in him and when we walk in his ways. When we walk in the light of the Lord and when we walk in the love wherewith he loved us, we will have fellowship with him and we will be able to walk through that straight and narrow gate that leads to heaven above. Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus says to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." And he says, I'm glad I wasn't there. And the reason I'm glad I wasn't there is that so that you might believe. So that you might believe, so that it might be very, very clear that this wasn't a short period of time where Lazarus was dead, and then I showed up on the scene and rose him from the dead, and then they would say, well, he might not have been fully dead. But Jesus waited so that they might fully see that there's glory here, because Lazarus was fully dead, so much so that the Bible says in the King James Version that he stinks. But yet Jesus was wanting to do this that they might believe. And then he says, okay, so let's go to him. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And so as he's arriving toward Bethany, which was really near to Jerusalem, Martha comes out to meet Jesus before he arrives there in Bethany, and she says to him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Almost so much so that as if she's saying, if you would have just came when we first sent the message to you, if you would have just came at that point, it wouldn't have been that Lazarus would have died. Perhaps you could have saved him before, while he was yet sick, before he died. But yet she had this faith and a proclamation and believed that whatever Jesus would ask of God, that God would give it to him. And so he proclaims to her, saying, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And then Jesus says unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life, the I ams of Jesus Christ." Again, he is the bread of life. He is the good shepherd. He is the door. And here he's saying, "I am the resurrection and the life." This is who Jesus Christ is. And again, this should serve as an inspiration to us, a great, great joy to us, that he is the resurrection and the life. And we can believe in him that he is this life. And we rejoice in him because he is this life. He speaks of himself and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." If we believe in Jesus Christ, that God has sent him, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, that we will have everlasting life. And we will not come unto condemnation, but will be passed from death unto life. This is a great blessing, that we will not be in condemnation when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we walk in the light, when we walk in love, when we have fellowship with the Lord. This is something new. This was something beautiful for them to hear, that he is the resurrection and the life. And he's telling them, as you believe in me, you will have eternal life. And in the previous chapter, he says that I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ came to be the life. And not only to have breath, but to have an abundant life, to have peace and to have joy in our lives, and to have a hope, and to know that our souls will go on through eternity, just as we pray together, that we are eternal beings. And this is a great joy to us, that we will live forever in eternal bliss, and we will be with our Lord and Savior, who is the resurrection and who is the life. And we will have an abundant life when we believe in him. He says, "Though he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Jesus Christ says in a couple chapters later, he says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life. When we believe in him, we will have eternal life. In John's epistle there at the very end, he says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." It's that simple. Jesus is the resurrection. He is the life. When we believe in him, when we give our all to him and fully be persuaded of him, we will have life. These are the words of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. And so he is the resurrection and the life. And he says, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Shall never die. Because he is the resurrection and because he is the life. Lazarus was resurrected from the dead. And there were those that witnessed it, and they gave glory to God. And they witnessed that there was this resurrection. Then, not too long afterwards, Jesus Christ himself was killed, and he died. And Lazarus, though the Bible doesn't record, knew, though, that Jesus was saying that he would be in the grave, but afterwards he would rise again, that he would be resurrected. And so Lazarus could understand this resurrection, that Jesus Christ would be resurrected again and would never die, but would live forever. And likewise for us, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And then he poses the question, and he says, "Believest thou this?" Do you believe that? Do you believe, as he said in the previous chapter, that my Father is greater than all? Do we believe that? Do we believe that no matter what mountain in our lives that we might have, that God is greater than that mountain? Do we believe that Jesus Christ is greater than death? And death has no more power. The sting of death is gone because of Jesus Christ and because of his resurrection and because of his life. The sting of death is gone. And so we have a hope. And so we rejoice in him. Do we believe this? This is perhaps our challenge for us this evening to consider. Do we believe this fully, that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? And that as we live and believe in him, that we will never die. When we walk in his light, when we walk according to his commandments, when we believe in him, when we walk in love, even as Jesus Christ hath loved us, that we will never die. And though Mary and Martha were in this grieving, in the state of grieving, and had a great loss, he's speaking to them this message. And he's reminding them and telling them that with God all things are possible, and that he is the resurrection and he is the life. And she says in response to them, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." She made this proclamation, this confession of her faith in the Lord and how she believed that he was the Christ, the Son of God. And we also always ought to make that profession and that confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world, the Savior of the world, who is the resurrection and who is the life. And so Martha goes and gets Mary, and Mary and she says to Mary, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." And so Mary hastily comes and meets Jesus in the place where where Martha met him. And Jesus still didn't even come into Bethany yet. He's still outside of Bethany 4 days later. And so Mary comes, and as Mary was is recorded in the Bible, that she was often at the feet of Jesus Christ. And she comes again, and she comes to the feet of Jesus Christ and says the same words that her sister Martha had said, and said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." They had that faith. They had that faith. And then we see Jesus' humanity. We see how he, when he saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He saw that the great destruction that the devil had brought about, and this death and by the evil and by sin that had come into the world. And he groaned in the spirit and he was troubled. And so he asked where they laid him, and they said, "Lord, come and see." And it says that Jesus wept. Again, his humanity, his great love that he had for them. And the Jews took note of it and said, "Behold how he loved him." And they said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" They had that faith as well, just as Mary and Martha had. They had this faith as well. There was a man that was born blind in the couple chapters previous to this, and so they were familiar with this, and they understood that this great miracle had happened, and this man that was born blind testified that never has man who was born blind received his sight, and so this truly must be the Son of God. And he testified of these things, and he believed in Jesus, and he worshiped Jesus, and they noted it. And so they say, "Now, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" They had faith. They came to this point in their minds that, well, if Jesus or if Lazarus had not quite yet died, he could have healed him from his sickness. But the glory of God was about to be revealed to them. Greater than a healing from sickness to health was that a man who was stinking in a grave for 4 days would now be raised to life again. And it was all to the glory of God, as Jesus even mentioned that here in the very beginning. It was for the glory of God. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." He wanted their participation. He wanted them to be part of this that was just about to happen. And so he tells them, "Roll the stone away." It was the angels that rolled the stone away when Jesus was in the grave. But he's asking them, "Roll the stone away." And so Martha responds by saying, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." And then he reminds her, and said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? If you'll just believe, you'll see the glory of God. Didn't I just say that to you? Believe. Come to that point where you believe. that you will see the glory of God. Moses said to the Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. And Jesus here is telling them, you're going to see the glory of God. Here momentarily, you're going to see the glory of God. But you need to believe. You need to believe. And you will see the light of Jesus Christ. You will see the light of God. You will see the glory of God. The Bible says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give unto us the knowledge of the glory of God, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Doesn't that inspire us? That we can see the glory of God? That we can see his great works? So they take the stone away from the place where the dead was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. This was the intent of what Jesus Christ has done with stalling before coming to Bethany, with allowing the Jews to be there, allowing Mary and Martha to know that he can do greater things than to simply heal one of his sickness to good health again, and for his disciples to note it as well, and for the Apostle John to write it down for us to know it and see it. And so, in their presence, he speaks to the Father and says these things. And then when he had spoken, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. To think of how that scene must have been, just picture it in your mind's eye. Usually, at a cemetery, it's more quiet, and there's a lot of witnesses here. There's a lot of grief here. There's sorrow, and the Jews have come from Jerusalem to comfort Mary and Martha. And Jesus is saying some things about him being the resurrection and the life, and that they're about to see the glory of God. And then, with a very loud voice, he says, Lazarus, come forth. Can you imagine just how it was with the crowd there, just all trying to look over each other's shoulders to see what's happening? Is he going to come forth? And they're seeing the glory of God. And so it was that Lazarus comes forth. And Jesus has them to participate and to relieve him of the grave's clothes that he was in. And they're all beholding and seeing this great glory of God, this great miracle that Jesus Christ has performed, and all to the intent that they would believe in Jesus Christ. And so just as it was back then, it is today, that there are different responses to what had just happened. It says that many believed. Many believed after they saw what had happened. But some went and told the Pharisees what had happened. Different responses to what God does and to his glory. Let's remember that our God is greater than all. That with God all things are possible. That he can do all things. That nothing is impossible with God. That he can do far more than just simply heal someone that's sick to good health again. That he can take that which was dead and make it alive. Make a sinner to become a saint. To cleanse that which was filthy, dirty, in the most despicable way, and to make them pure and white and righteous before God. In another gospel, Jesus speaks and says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We serve a great God, a Father who is greater than all and who can do all things. We're being called to believe in him. We're being called to be inspired and to know the great power of God, and to know that he can do great things, and to know that his timing is perfect. There is no time with the Lord. Jesus Christ was speaking, are there not 12 hours in a day? Again, Jesus is humanity, because Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting. And God cares for us in every detail of our life. And he loves us. And sometimes his timing is not our timing. And sometimes we might think that we would have done things differently. But God is sovereign. And God does things for his glory and for his honor. And so I just pray that the Holy Spirit would have spoken to each and every one of us and have inspired us. Amen.
We see a scene here where there's great despair, sadness, sorrow. And we see Jesus, and we see a comfort when they hear that Jesus is coming. But as we look through this, there was much was expressed about faith, about the glory, and so on, all that takes place in this chapter. But we also see a man and who he is, and it is for us to look at our own life to compare to the statements that these believers and followers of Jesus had expressed. And yet we can see, even in their bold expressions, an inadequacy. And we see even in Thomas, the disciples were there on at least two occasions when they sought to stone Jesus. And oftentimes they sought to... Or here when he says that he's going to go to Judea, Thomas says, they're going to kill you. And he firmly believed it. And he tells his fellow disciples, even though Jesus hears him, he says, I'm going to go. They said, well, let's go and we're going to die with him. He firmly believed that Jesus had no way out of this. That's a lack of faith. And yet there is an expression of faith in his following of Jesus. But and the same thing takes place here with Martha. one who we see here, she when she sees that Jesus is coming, she runs out to meet him. And she says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. That is an expression of faith, as we heard. That she believes that if he was there, he wouldn't have died. But yet we also see that she's short-sighted in her faith, because Jesus doesn't have to be there to heal him. Jesus can speak a word. Jesus spoke light into existence. He spoke creation into existence. Everything seen, he spoke it and it happened. He could have spoke for Lazarus to have been healed way from the distance that he was, a couple miles away, easily. And then she says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God. So she expressed a faith in the past, if you had been here. Then she says, even now, in the present, whatever you ask of God, God will give it thee. She believes that. But yet we see that her words are outrunning her actual faith. Because we see in verse 39, she says, Lord, when he says, take away the stone. This is Martha who said, whatever you ask of God, we know he can give it to you. She says, Martha says, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. And Jesus turns to her. So we see that her expression of faith was actually more so than her actual faith. And dear ones, as we read this, I think of myself, and let's all think of ourselves. We express our faith very easily. We express it. But the actuality of our faith, does it follow our expression? Martha, Thomas, they're found lacking. And Jesus turns to her and he says, And he directs it to her. He says, said I not unto thee, he's talking directly to Martha, didn't I tell you, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? I told you this. You should have believed it, because now you're going to see it. And dear ones, in our lives, our expression of faith must be followed by an actual following. Not left, well, disbelieving, saying it, but not really following through in our lives, in the way we live our life. It needs to be an expression that needs to follow what our words are. It says, Jesus says, I am the resurrection. We know that in Job, there's no more beautiful words of an expression of the resurrection than Job when he says, oh, that my words were now written. He didn't realize that they are being written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. They were. He says, for I, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. They stand today. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. This was a belief in the resurrection. And Jesus is telling them, I am the resurrection. God's answer for sin is death. We see it here. But his answer for death is the resurrection. Do we believe? They were all going to the tomb. They were all on their way to the tomb. Jesus was on their way to the tomb with them. They were all going because of their own sin. He was going because of their sin. And so we see here, dear ones, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were yet dead, yet shall he live. That's for you, my dear friend. I am the resurrection and life. You are dead, but you will live if you believe in me. Yes, even now, death has no more dominion. Jesus wept. Did he weep because he loved Lazarus so much and not others? No, he loved the man who punched him in the face just as much as he loved Lazarus. He loves you. He loves me as much as he loved Lazarus. He doesn't love us any less. This is the love that took him to the cross. And dear ones, let us also love him in the same manner. And let us have a faith that is expressed every day in our walk, not just in our word. So that Jesus doesn't tell us, "Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you this? Didn't you read about this? You knew this. Why didn't you believe me?" May our faith increase in the manner in which we truly walk by faith and not by sight. Amen.